Welcome to all of you today, and especially all of you moms. We celebrate you today, and we are grateful that you are in the house of the Lord along with your children. 1 Samuel chapter 1 talks about a mother. And this morning I want to talk to you for a few moments about the power of a mother's prayers. 1 Samuel chapter 1, starting verse 27, this is a woman by the name of Hannah. Listen to how she talks and how she prays. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked him. So now I will give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord. Speaking of Samuel, Samuel worshiped the Lord there. Back to verse 27, I prayed for this child. Mom, I want to speak to you this morning for a few moments about a power that is more mighty than any power here on earth, a power that is greater than infertility, a power that is greater than sickness and disease, a power that is greater than addiction, greater than rebellion, greater than mental confusion. A prayer so great and a power so great that once it has been released by faith, it cannot be stopped. Demons and devils and principalities and powers, they're all impotent against this powerful force of which I speak this morning. From the moment this power is invoked, all of hell knows it is over. The battle may rage, but the war has been won. Mom, this power of which I speak this morning is the power of a mother's prayers. I want to encourage every mother here this morning to liberally use this wonderful gift and tool that God has given to us, the power of prayer. I promise you that if you will take things to the Lord in prayer, it'll take a lot of frustration out of your life. Now, I want you to consider with me this morning for the next few moments a woman in Scripture by the name of Hannah. Hannah was a praying mom. She prayed about every single aspect of motherhood. She prayed for her child's conception. She prayed for physical and emotional formation. She prayed about his education, prayed for his salvation, prayed for his protection, prayed that he might be able to overcome temptation when it comes his way, and prayed for the anointing of the Lord to be upon his life. Our text says it best, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. I want you to notice, first of all, how Hannah prayed to conceive. Friends, this whole business of life is God's business. Leo Zell is one that wrote a book, and in this book she talks about how men may choose when to make love, but only God chooses when to make life. Life is in the hands of God. And Hannah was barren and was unable to conceive, and this barrenness broke Hannah's heart. Her arms ached to hold a child that she could love and one that she could nourish. And to make things worse, her husband's second wife, Peninnah, was a fertile myrtle, conceiving and bearing children with ease, it seemed as though. And adding insult to injury, Peninnah then mocked Hannah for her infertility and for her barrenness. Verse 6 says this, and because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. And so this irritation was going on. Her heart was broken. She wanted to have a child, wanted a child so badly. You know, friends, how easy it would have been for Hannah to become sour on life and angry with God in such a time. But rather than giving in to her feelings, she prayed and she sought the face of God. Someone has said and said it well, that prayer will either keep us from bitterness or bitterness will keep us from praying. And Hannah prayed that she would conceive and bear a son, not just for her own selfish desires, but for a son that would fulfill God's purposes in the world. She prayed, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you for the work of your kingdom. And the Bible tells us how God answered that prayer and gave her a son, whom she named Samuel. And the name Samuel literally means asked of God. And every time the name Samuel was mentioned, everyone knew that is what that means. This child was asked of God. And so before she ever conceived, she was barren, and she would pray to God and say, God, send me a child, and if you trust me with a child, I will make sure he is given back to you and he serves you all the days of his life. Secondly, I want you to notice how Hannah prayed for Samuel's physical and mental formation. Hannah covered Samuel's young and formative years with prayer. I can imagine her praying, Lord, he is your child more than he is mine. And let him become everything you created him to be. That is the way she prayed. Let him grow strong. Keep him from sickness and keep him from disease. Give him a brilliant mind filled with the knowledge of God. And Lord, you alone know his full potential. And let your will be done in my son. Now at the age of 2 and possibly 3, Hannah kept her promise that she had made to God before Samuel was ever conceived. And she took Samuel to live with Eli, the priest in Shiloh at the temple there. And again, God answered a prayer. Look at verse 26 of Samuel 2. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with the Lord and with men, which simply means he grew not only physically, but he grew emotionally, he grew spiritually. And all that watched the life of Samuel, they knew that Samuel had the touch of God from a young boy on his life. Thirdly, Hannah prayed for Samuel's education. You know, Samuel's primary education was to become a spiritual education under the tutorage of a man by the name of Eli, which was the priest in Shiloh. And I'm sure she prayed much both for Samuel, her son, but also for Eli, the priest that was going to be guiding and directing his young life. Mom, let me encourage you this morning. Cover your child daily in prayer. Pray for their school. Pray for their teachers. Pray for their minds to absorb truth and to deflect all error. And above all things, pray that your child may come to know Jesus Christ as the way, the truth, and the life. Hannah prayed for Samuel's education, which was primarily a spiritual education, in coming to know God. Fourthly, I want you to see how Hannah prayed for Samuel's salvation. In verse 28 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, it says, Now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. More than health or wisdom or wealth, Hannah prayed, for she wanted her son to serve God. You know, friends, in reality, really nothing else in life really much counts if we're not serving God. You can have the finest home, the finest car, the finest education, make 6 digits or even 7 digits income, but at the end of one's life, if one is not right with God, none of this really counts. I cut my teeth in ministry under Joseph and John Wanamaker, and Joseph would often tell me, as just a young pastor serving under him in the youth department at Calvary Assembly of God, now many years ago. But Grandpa Wanamaker would often say to me, and I never really quite comprehended what he was saying, but he would say, if my children would have served God, it would have killed me. If my children would not have served God, it would have killed me. And at the time, being a brand new couple and childless, I really did not understand at all what Joseph Wanamaker, what Grandpa Wanamaker was trying to tell me. Even in the years when my children were young and still very attached to us as parents, I still didn't understand what he meant when he said, if my children would not have served God, it would have killed me. Today, however, I think I know a little bit about what Joseph Wanamaker was trying to say. You see, if your children are not serving God, really, nothing else really counts. And mom and dad, I would say today, pray for your children. Pray that they would come to know Christ and that they would serve the Lord with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. And even if they won't listen to your words, they will feel the power of your prayers. They will sense the tug of conviction. You know, they say there's three different steps to conviction. And as you're praying for your child or your grandchild, someone that you love in your life, you can always kind of tell where they're at and where the stages of conviction is at in their life. And if you are praying for them and they get mad, you say, yes, it's working. Because you know that's the first stage of conviction. The first stage of conviction, you get upset. And you're upset with the, you know, people around about you that love you and are trying to share the love of God and are praying for you and will share the truths of God's word and will invite you to church. And the response in the beginning is oftentimes it's a madness. They're angry. But then it turns to a sadness. They begin to realize how they've treated others and how they've treated God and how good God has been to them. And there's a brokenness. And out of that brokenness, they give their lives to Christ and they become glad. So you can know where they're at as you're praying for them. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about today. And you've almost given up. You've said, you know, all I see is anger. I'm about ready to stop and I want to give up. I want you to know, keep on persevering. God's going to see you through. The madness is going to go to sadness and the sadness is going to go to gladness. And next Mother's Day, I pray they're sitting right alongside of you and they're rejoicing in the Lord God and they're serving God with all their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength. And so as you are praying, they cannot outrun those prayers. Hannah prayed for Samuel's salvation. I want you to see how Hannah also prayed for Samuel's protection. You know, I cannot imagine the feelings that Hannah must have had when she left her toddler off at the temple in Shiloh to live. Now, I also have tried to figure this out in my mind. What must have Eli, the priest at the temple, thought when the offering was passed and she placed her son in it? Some of you moms say you probably would like to do that on occasion. As the offering comes by, I'm just going to put my kid in the offering. But somewhere along the way, Eli must have thought, you know, this is a big ask. We've raised three children, and we're blessed with five grandchildren. Thank you very much. You keep your own, all right? No kids in the offering around here, all right? But how she must have prayed. I want you to think about this for a moment. She promised the Lord while she was still barren, if you will give me a son, I will see to it that he is brought back to the temple, that he is raised in the temple, and that he will be raised in the things of God, and that he'll rise up and become a mighty man of God. That's easy to say when you do not have a child, when you're barren. But when the child is born, and the Bible says about at the time that he was weaned, and so we can know he's at two and three at the very most, she packs up his belongings and takes him over to Eli at the temple and leaves him with Eli there. How she must have prayed for his protection, knowing that she was miles away from the son that she had bore. God, I cannot be there to protect him. Lord, you must be his protector. Protect him, Lord, body, soul, and spirit. I remember so vividly dropping off my daughter, Stacy, at North Central University in downtown Minneapolis when she was to become a freshman her freshman year. Just across from Miller Hall there, which is the main education wing of the college, there is Elliott Park. And in Elliott Park, there's been all the way back from the time that I was a student there, and even before that, when some of my older brothers attended there, Elliott Park has always been a place full of drunks. It was in downtown. It was kind of a safe place for the drunks to go and hang out. And there'd be panhandlers, and all of this was going on in the park. And so we dropped off my daughter, and we had just said our goodbyes, and of course we had loaded everything into the rooms and all of that kind of stuff. So this is kind of the final goodbye. And as I'm beginning to drive down Elliott Avenue, heading north to go catch I-94 to return back to Milwaukee, I look in the rearview mirror, and out of the park comes about three or four drunks, and they're chasing my daughter, which I'm leaving now at North Central in Minneapolis. And I thought to myself, what in the world am I doing leaving my daughter here in this environment? Now, the environment of Eli's household, this priest there in Shiloh, the Bible tells us it was a mess. Eli's sons were morally bankrupt. They were undisciplined and they were decadent. They stole from the treasury of the temple. They took the best offerings for themselves. And they were so wicked they'd even solicit women for sex when they would come to worship at the temple. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12, giving us a little picture of the kind of the environment that this mother, Hannah, left her son, Eli, with Eli, Samuel in his care. It tells us Eli's sons were wicked men. They had no regard for the Lord. But because of mom's prayers, God kept Samuel pure, even though he was surrounded by rebellion. Mom, let me encourage you, pray for the protection of your children. You know, I love the way my mother would pray for all of us, especially when it would come to traveling protection. My mother would oftentimes come out. It didn't make any difference if we were just going off to school in the morning, and we would drive ourselves going off to school, and I can hear my mother's hand on the hood of the car, the squeak as I would be backing away. Now, I know that's not nice, and I am a, Mom, I apologize this morning, all right? If you're talking to God about this, just have a little grace, all right, for the moment. And but Mom, she would come out and she would pray, and she would pray this way. She'd always say, Lord, I pray for the top of the car. And I pray for the bottom of the car. I pray for the right side and the left side and from the front and from the rear. She would take and cover every, and it was like, Mom, we're late, we're late. And we hear the squeaking sound of her hand on the hood of the car as we're backing away. I am so glad for my mother's prayers. I'm so glad. Our family now is about 143 of us all total. Mom is now home in glory for the last number of years, but it is, you know, Mom's prayers, as I look back, she protected and watched over us in the physical realm all she could. But she understood that, you know, she couldn't go everywhere we were going to go. You know, I see parents all the time that are going to try to watch over their children for a lifetime. And, you know, if they go off to Minneapolis to school, then they move to Minneapolis and they move right across the street from the university. And then if they're going to move to La Crosse and, you know, that's their first job, then they pack up and they leave and they move over to La Crosse. And, you know, they're always following them. We call them today helicopter parents. They're kind of always hovering above them. And the kids are about ready to shoot their helicopter down most of the time. But nonetheless, Mom, you know, there's a time in life where we come to the understanding if God does not watch over them, they cannot be protected. But I am so glad to know that as we pray, and Mom, as you pray for those kids, even though they may be backing out of the driveway and your hand is squeaking on the hood, God hears your prayers. God heard the prayers of Hannah, watched over Samuel, and Samuel, the Bible says, grew in stature. He grew so that men and the kingdom of God all benefited from his life. Hannah also prayed for God's anointing upon his life. You know, Hannah wanted her son to walk in the power of God. And again, God answered that prayer. Listen what it says of Samuel's life. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The touch of God was so evident upon Samuel's life that all could plainly see that the Lord was with him. I think of Abraham Lincoln. He says, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all of my life. Friends, I want you to know there is something in prayer that will follow every child, no matter where they go, no matter how they stray. There is something about prayer that sticks with us for a lifetime. I'm so glad for the prayers of my mother. So glad that she would pray every single Sunday. She would pray, God, let the anointing of the Lord be upon Jerry, that this congregation that you have placed him in would know the presence and the power of God. You know, my mother, as I told you, she passed away, but every single Saturday night, I get a text from my sister Gloria. Every single Saturday night, Jerry, I want you to know, Larry and I are praying for you today. I'm praying for the anointing of the Lord. There is something that is so wonderful about people that will pray for you. And the Bible simply tells us that Hannah, she prayed for her son. She prayed that she would conceive. And you know, even in those moments when she was carrying little Samuel within the womb, I can just see her, you know, with her hands possibly over that little baby bump and praying, God, one day I want this child to make a difference in your kingdom. I want him to grow up to know you and to serve you with all of his heart and mind and soul and strength. Lord, I want you to watch over him physically. I want you to guide him emotionally and mentally. She prayed for his education, which is primary education there in the temple in Shiloh, even though he is surrounded by corruptness, that God would keep him. Prayed for his salvation, that he might come to know the Lord is God. Prayed for the protecting hand of the Lord to be upon him, and prayed for the anointing. In 1 Samuel 1 and verse 27, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. You know, many of you in the room this morning, you've come and you've been blessed as I was blessed with a praying mom. And for some of you today, mom said to you, the greatest gift that you could give me today would be the gift of coming to church with me today. And you've come to the house of the Lord this morning and you're sitting in a row or you're sitting very close to mom. And mom has just been praying for you since before you were ever conceived. And all throughout the pregnancy, as she waddled about in those last, you know, days of carrying you within the womb, and her hands on that little baby bump, she was praying for you. Mama's prayed that you would be strong and healthy. Mama's prayed that you would have a life that is filled with purpose, the purposes of God. Mama's prayed for you. And today you sit alongside of mom. Mama's in the house and she has prayed earnestly that you would have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you've sensed in your heart that tug of the Holy Spirit. That's because mom loves you, mom's been praying, and heaven has been answering. And you've sensed inside of your heart, you know, I've got to respond. I've got to get right with God. This means not only a lot to mom, this is going to mean everything one day to me. When I take my last breath, when I let go of mom's hand, I want to be able to take hold of the Savior's hand. And the Lord has been tugging at your heart. I want to pray for you this morning. Will you bow your heads just before we pray for every mom in the room? Father, this morning we're so grateful for each and every one of the moms that's in the house today. Thank you, Lord, for the miracle of life, conception. From beginning to end, it's all a God thing. Men may choose when to make love, but only God chooses when to make life. There is no one that's ever been born that's been born by accident. Each one you had a plan for. Thank you, Lord, for moms that prayed even before they conceived, and then prayed all throughout the pregnancy, and then prayed after the birth, guide and direct and bless my child. May my child come to know you and to know your love and to walk in the peace, that only belongs to those that are the children of God, not only the children of mankind, but the children of God. Father, I pray today for every person in the room. Lord, there are so many that I believe are saying, you know, I've got to take that next step. I do sense God speaking to me. And friend, if that's you, just as I pray this morning, make this your own prayer. Just say, Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for a loving mother. Thank you for parents that have raised me. Thank you for their investment. Thank you for your love, never turning your back on me. Thank you, Lord, for tugging at my heart. And I know it's a direct response to the fact that Mom's been praying. And today I want to give you my heart. This morning I want to give you my life. Dear Jesus, I ask you to forgive me. I admit that I have sinned. I've often done things my way and rejected your way. I've been negligent about the things of God. And I know that's no way to live. I know it's so short-sighted. I've made up my mind this morning. I'm giving my life to you. And I want you to live inside of me. And Father, I just pray, Lord, for those that are praying that prayer, that this would be a moment, Lord, that they begin to sense a cleanness. They would sense forgiveness. That they would sense the love of God like they've not experienced your love before. Lord, I pray that there would be a peace that passeth all human understanding. I pray that there would be a brand new purpose. They would understand why they're here, what God's plan is for their life. I pray you begin to unfold it to them in an ever-growing and expanding way. Thank you, Lord, for each one of these family units. I pray your blessing to be upon them. And I thank you, Lord, for hearing me this morning.